before we go any further. Is every heart clear? Be good to offer the sacrifice of praise. Has everybody done what they need to do? Obey God. The West, would you pray for us, please?
Father, I just pray with meekness here tonight. Father, I pray that you be able to preach it tonight and open up your precious word. Please, Father, just pray to prepare our hearts to receive the word of God tonight, to apply it for our lives, to grow thereby. Father, we are needy people. We all have needs. There's needs of salvation represented here tonight as well, Father, and I just pray that you speak to that heart tonight in a special way. Help them to realize that need and to act upon that need in your timing. Just pray that seed could maybe plant it tonight, water. Pray that you would give the increase in your timing. Just pray again, Father, you'd meet with us here. Just pray that you would anoint the lips of the preacher. Give him unction in the Holy Ghost, Father. Just pray that what's said and done here tonight would be pleasing and honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go to the book of 1 John, chapter 1 tonight. First John, chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. And notice what John said, and bear witness. Can I say, if anyone has seen Jesus Christ, that they can bear witness that he's the Son of God? John literally saw him, he handled him, he heard his words. But that was not salvation for John. It's when by faith he saw that he was the Son of God. People often say, if Jesus himself would speak to me, or if Jesus himself would appear to me, yet can I say that he has appeared, and yet men still don't believe him. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. John bore witness of what he knew. That's why many don't have a testimony. They can't bear witness because they don't know him. And show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And then this is the invitation that John offers. That ye, and again, that's all of us individually. He's including all of us, but he's speaking to us personally. That ye also may have fellowship with us. And that's not some kind of arrogance that we have something that is special to us. No, we have something special to him. It's his son, Jesus Christ. But I still preach and believe, and the word of God teaches a whosoever will gospel. Whosoever will, may, that's their will, choice, may come. But you come through Jesus Christ. It's not of your merit, not of your works, not of your tradition. It's not by pedigree. You come through the person of Jesus Christ. And John said, we've invited you into this fellowship with us. Who is that? The church. The blood washed, the born of God. And truly our fellowship, and this is where it is with the Father, and with his son, Jesus Christ. Romans told us he was declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness. God himself declared Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. When John saw him, John the Baptist saw him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," he introduced the world to Jesus Christ. The time we get to the end of that chapter, he has declared him to be the Son of God. Matthew declared him to be the Son of God. Mark declared him to be the Son of God. Luke declared him to be the Son of God. John declared him to be the Son of God. Not with their lips, but with their witness. The things we've heard, we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life, Jesus Christ. Faith is that element with so many times people misunderstand it, and if you've used this, just take it for what it is, but it's not flipping the light switch and having faith that it's going to come on. It's not faith. That is something that you've experienced. And by tradition, you know the light switch is normally going to turn the light on. Neither is it blind faith, where we just kind of take a stab in the dark and come up with Jesus Christ. The faith he speaks of is the word of God. It cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. There's a substance to faith. It's not just some random, I'll pick a God or I'll pick a Savior. No, there's a substance of things hoped for. The witness is the evidence of things not seen. The witness of God, a tremendous witness of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's the evidence, but yet things not seen. 1 John chapter 5 tells us on this wise, whosoever, and again, that's your will, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Where do we believe that? Well, Romans told us in the heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Amen. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. It's not this contemporary, sickeningly gooey love. It's not brother love. No, it's that we keep his commandments. It's not a huggy fellowship. It's the obeying the commandments of God and knowing that his commandments are not grievous. This isn't a hard life when it comes to obeying him.
Amen.
We make them grievous by our obstinance. We make the commandments of God difficult by our sin. And so he says in verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." The statement, the witness, the reckoning. In the heart, we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In verse 6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." And then he gives us a strong doctrine. "For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And then verse 9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. The Word of God testifies continually that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All things point to him being the Son of God. I jotted a couple of things down, and let's go to John 19. I want to talk about that witness just for a moment, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In John 19, and we see at Calvary, our Lord and Savior has been crucified, and there on the cross, the Word of God tells us in verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water, and he that saw it bare record. And his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true. Why? That ye might believe. He gives us a record of Calvary that ye might. And again, that's optional. That's in your court. That is your will against God's will. But that ye might believe. And here's the vessel by which we believe. For these things were done, in verse 36 of John 19, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. I'd like to go look at those verses just quickly, if you would. And I'll just do this in order, make it a little bit easier for us. Let's go to the book of Numbers. And go to chapter 9 of the book of Numbers. As the scripture told us of the Son of God, the witness of God, and the writer of the book of John is telling us that this witness is true. Numbers 9 and verse 12. Speaking of the Passover lamb, they shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover that they shall keep. Exodus 12. Let's go back there. I'm not quite in order. I get confused easily. But Exodus chapter 12 and verse 43. Again, the Word of God tells us that it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self-tamed day, it came to pass that all the host of Israel went out from the land of Egypt in a night. Must be must observe unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. And so when he tells in the book of Numbers, no bone of that offering of that lamb shall be broken. He told us in the book of Exodus, this is for the children of Israel. In verse 46, in one house shall it be eaten. What is that? The Passover. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. So when the scripture tells us that he'll not have a bone broken, tells us in another place they looked on him whom they pierced. God is testifying of the witness of the Word of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 34 and verse 20. The Passover, in case you're wondering, I guess I should clarify a little bit. The Passover is a witness of the Son of God. We see Jesus Christ in the Passover. In Psalm 34 and verse 20, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. So again, the Word of God tells us of Jesus Christ, not one of his bones shall be broken. That's the witness of God. That's the testimony of God fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Zechariah chapter 12. Again, he's responding to the word of God. He's answering according to the word of God. Zechariah chapter 12, one verse in verse 10. The word of God tells us this. I'll start in verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Again, let's go back to John, and just I'd like to read that passage again if we could in John chapter 19. The soldiers, verse 32, then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. Why didn't they break his legs? Because the prophets told us that not one bone of his would be broken. The Passover told us not one bone of that Passover would be broken. Why? It's a representation of Jesus Christ. Then he tells us in Zechariah again, they shall look on him whom they pierced. The word of God tells us when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And the word of God tells it, forthwith came there out what? Blood and water. Amen and amen. We saw that somewhere tonight already. And he saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. What are we to believe? John told us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to take some place tonight that's not original completely to me. I've expanded on something that was given to me. But I want to go back to the book of Exodus in chapter 40. And I want you to keep in mind that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures. The word of God tells us in Exodus chapter 40. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of this tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein, notice this, the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door of the to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put the water therein. Now, I need to notice a couple things here. One, much of this is done in pure gold. It's beaten work. It's deity. It's a picture. It's a type. The tabernacle is a replica, if you will, of that which is in the heavenlies. And it was God's place on earth. And God has established his tabernacle. And when you walk in, God has set an order to that tabernacle. I want you, if you would, let's turn over to the book of John in chapter 6. When Moses inquires at the burning bush of the Lord and asks of the Lord, and the Lord calls unto him, and he asks him who is speaking to him, what does the word of God say? I am that I am. That's how God responds to Moses. I am that I am. In John chapter 6, and I want you to keep the tabernacle in mind. Somebody gave me a couple of these, and the Lord just helped me run through these, and even recently again visited some of these things. But in John chapter 6 and verse 35, as we go into the tabernacle, we see the table. Upon the table is the showbread. Everything's in order upon that table. And in John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus Christ, knowing the scriptures. Jesus Christ is the scriptures. Jesus Christ speaking of that which was, but also that which is. Why? Because he is I am. So he said, I am the bread of life. He says in verse 41, the Jews that murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. He says in a third place, he said in verse 50, or so sorry, in verse 49, their fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread. There it is. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews still couldn't understand that he is that bread of life. He is the living bread. There are folks today still do not believe he's the living bread. That's why he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, they shall be filled. What fills them? It's the bread of life that fills them. It's the water of the word of God that fills them. It's a refreshing to the soul. You'll never thirst again. You'll never hunger again with that bread. John chapter 8 and verse 12. We see also on that table, there's not only the showbread, we see there's a golden candlestick. And upon that golden candlestick are the seven lamps. And I won't get into that, but verse 12 of chapter 8. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Chapter 9 of the book of John and verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John chapter 10 and verse 7. Again, there's a hanging upon the door. We see in John 10 and 7, Jesus Christ says this. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He's bearing witness of that which is written of him in the old. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Again, this is the Christ that died to fulfill Scripture. This is the Christ, Jesus Christ. Again, a picture, a type, if you will, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle of God, that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All things pointed to him. All sacrifices pointed to him. The high priest pointed to him. And here, the accoutrements of the tabernacle all point to the Lamb of God. And Jesus Christ says, I am. It wasn't that he was in the Old Testament. I am the Old Testament. I am the New Testament. I am that I am. He is the Son of God. Again, in another place in chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, he said, I am the good shepherd. Thank God, he said, I know my sheep and have known of mine. Verse 36, he said, say ye of them whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said, what? What did he say? I am the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Deity, holy, righteousness, just. And all through that tabernacle, everything is pointing to him, that the scriptures might be fulfilled in him. Yet they see it, yet they still would not believe. John 14. I'm going to go on a limb on this. Not too small of a limb. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, your fathers did eat manna. Where's that manna? It's in the ark. He said, I am the way. Which way? God's way. There is but one way. Aaron's rod that budded proved that. He said, I am the truth, the law of God, established forever in that covenant. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As that priest would go in that most holy place, and that sacrifice is offered for the atonement of Israel, there was great rejoicing because the I am of the Word of God had forgiven them. And the I am of the Word of God had made them righteous. The I am of the Word of God removed their iniquities and removed their sins. The I am of the Word of God. The person of Jesus Christ. Chapter 11. Let me go back one in verse 25. Again, he is the Son of God. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Again, he that believeth on in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whatsoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asked her this question, believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. He that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the resurrection and the life. I'm not quite done. John 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine. There is no other branch to graft in on but the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. And my Father is the husbandman. He said in verse 5, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And I don't know if you've caught this week or not. Starting on Sunday, running through Wednesday night, there's a theme that's been woven unintentionally throughout the week, that Christ is in us and we are in Christ. We're not our own. We're in Christ that are saved. We're sealed in Christ. He's in us. He's an indwelling Savior. It's an internal salvation. He works inwardly in man. I am the vine. I love what he said. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. One thing I've learned about grafting, I don't want to get into grafting much tonight, but I've studied it extensively, learned about grafting. When you graft well and you graft right, the branch is as good as the vine. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. It's his fruit. And we bear it through him. I am I am. I am! Believest thou this? I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Where does she believe? In her heart. Let's go to Mark 15, the witness of Calvary. Mark chapter 15. In verse 34, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Again, the scripture being fulfilled in Psalm 22 and verse 1. And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, it calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, and notice this, saw that he so cried out, gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. What did he respond to? The word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So why is it some of us tonight may not believe? We don't believe I am. And can I say there's only one reason we don't believe I am? It's because we believe I am. If we believed he was, we wouldn't believe we were. But we don't believe that he was. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 13. Hereby know we, here's our assurance verse. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. Again, there's that indwelling, there's that personal relationship that's God in us, us in him. We dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Again, the word confess is used so petty, so shallow. So indifferent today. If we confess our sins, what do? They bundle them in this little bundle. They call this our sins. They bundle it up. They throw it on the altar of forgiveness and say, oh, I've confessed my sins. They go to court and they plead guilty. It's called a plea bargain. Or they plead no contest. When they get locked up with other prisoners, they all claim innocence. Why? Because they confess to get out of a long sentence. But they've never acknowledged their guilt. They've never said, I'm wrong. But if you'll confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you'll confess it with every conviction of your heart. And you'll believe it in your heart. Because he'll be in you and you'll be in him. Never again to be separated. It's easy to say it with our lips. It's not near as easy to say from the heart. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. I have written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father. And then John goes back, that word he uses over and over and over again, the word beginning. He said, let that therefore abide in you which we have heard when? From the beginning. Abide in you, indwelling, internal, changes on the inside. I won't get into it. But some of you know, how do you know he lives in your house?
Amen.
How do you know he lives in your house? Well, since we're here, amen. If you want to go to the bathroom, get a drink, go right ahead. Hey, since we're, let me tell you how I knew my wife moved in. Amen. Somebody said, I heard you say that before. Well, if you travel with me, you hear me say it about every 2-3 days. Amen. Everything changed. I don't even go to the same places I used to go. I don't do the same things I used to do. I know you aren't going to believe this. Some of you might think I'm lying. I've maybe been to 5 yard sales in my life before I got married. True story. I never went to an auction before I got married. That wasn't her fault. I got the addiction bad. I had to get away somehow. No, I'm just joking about that. My clothing changed. My decor changed. My hours changed. You just say amen on that one. My diet changed. My house was a lot cleaner. I was concerned about someone more than me. Amen. How do you know Jesus Christ abides in you? Everything's changed.
Come on.
You're a whole lot cleaner than what you used to be. Your language is a whole lot different than what it used to be. Your attitude's a whole lot different than what it used to be. You get out of the pit of sin. You don't get dirtier, you get cleaner. You don't get filthier, you get righteous. You don't go into fornication, you get out of fornication. You don't go into drugs, you get out of drugs. You don't go into drunkenness, you get out of drunkenness. Amen and amen. That's how you know Jesus Christ dwells in your house. You don't get out of church, you get in church. You don't throw away a King James Bible, you pick up a King James Bible. We just shout, say amen, whether you like that or not. You pick up a King. That's how you know Jesus dwells in your house. My music changed. My life changed. When he abides in you, you abide in him because he is the vine. And we are the branches. Well, again, I wasn't a little church girl. I wasn't a little church boy. Never been a little anything. The whole world knew I was a sinner. The problem is most of you tried so hard to hide it so long that you think nobody knows you're a sinner, but God does. Amen. You go to hell never saying a cuss word, never touching a drop of liquor, never taking an illicit drug, never fornicating, never listening to rock and roll music. You'll still go to hell if you don't believe in the only begotten Son of God. He must abide in you. Why? I am. There is none other. I am. Who shall I tell them sent me? I am that I am. There is none other, Moses. There is no other way outside of Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he told us, I am. First John chapter 5. Lady said to me one time, she goes, "Do you have to yell to make your point?" I said, "Yeah." I got children. You just say amen on that. Some of you have children, you understand. And I mean, God would tell you, if you have to raise your voice, you failed as a parent. I said, "Well, I failed as a parent then." I'm not that spiritual. That's what he told me. He said, you had to raise your voice, you failed. Well, I must have failed as a preacher. Amen. I must have just fallen off the wagon as a preacher. I had to raise my voice to make a point. You know what? Sometimes you got to get people's attention. I told him up there in Lebanon the other week, I said, "Brother Jack Haynes sits back there. He can't hear a blessed thing." And I want to make sure, I'll be preaching loud, son. Not your loud, but loud. And I'll be preaching loud, son. And not Rick Rose loud, but I'll be preaching loud. And I'll say, "Brother Jack, can you hear me?" And he'll nod and laugh, you know. If he can't hear me, listen, there might be other people who can't hear me, but I suspect it's less a hearing problem than it is an attention deficit disorder. Sometimes you got to wake up the dead. Jesus didn't whisper, "Lazarus, come forth."
Right?
Amen. Amen. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Mm-hmm. He said, "Spare not, cry aloud." Why, this great God is worthy to be praised. This great God of the Bible is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be exalted. He's worthy to be lifted up. He's worthy to be shouted from the rooftop. He's worthy to be spoken of. He's worthy to be preached of. He's worthy of worship. I tell you why people don't like loud preaching, because they're carnal. You just say amen. They're worried more about the accoutrements of preaching than they are the message. They're troubled about the appearance of preaching because they don't like the message. Nobody complains about loud singing. Nobody complains about loud singing. Nobody complains about the loud carnival. Nobody complains about the loud football game. Nobody complains about the loud band at the parade. Nobody complains about the loud fire trucks riding down the road. Nobody complains about the loud construction site. But God forbid the preacher ever raise his voice. Amen. Please God through the foolishness of preaching. Right. To save those that will believe. Had Josh go, "Well, my pastor doesn't talk like that." I go, "Well, mine doesn't either." But sometimes, even on Wednesday night, and I mean, listen, Wednesday nights, I mean, you know, that's quiet time. And sometimes my pastor, he starts walking around, and sometimes he points his finger. I'm sorry, I don't want to detract visitors from ever coming back. Sometimes I've heard him holler kind of loud. And I get in the car and tell my wife, "I'm never going back to that place." It's the message. If you'd meet the Son of God, you'd shout it from the rooftops too.
Amen.
If you knew Jesus Christ, you'd have no trouble lifting up your voice about him. You'd have no trouble praising him. If you knew what God had done for me, you'd understand why I praise him and why I rejoice and why I exalt his name. He brought me up out of the miry clay, put my feet on a solid rock in Christ. This poor man cried. Psalm 34:6, and the Lord heard him and saved me out of all his troubles. And listen, I had a lot of troubles. I was in despair and I was in a mess when Jesus Christ drew me out. And I believed on his name. What a difference it made in my life. You know why we preach? In lieu of a call, that you also may have fellowship with us. There's nothing quite like meeting a brother, sister in Christ. Listen, I'm going to say something. I'm going to pay somebody a compliment. I'm going to hate myself tomorrow. But the first time I met Miss Kitty, I tried so hard to not like her. But she did something most ladies don't do. She began talking about Jesus. And it wasn't weird. Miss Kitty, I'm paying you a compliment. It was weird to everybody else. It wasn't weird to her. She talked about Jesus. I've met ladies outside of church, and you know what? They've talked about Jesus. What an oddity. What a strange thing. I've met people on the streets who began to converse. I met a man many, many years ago in Hagerstown who began to converse on the streets. He said, "Sir, let me tell you what happened to me." I said, "Okay." He said, "I was a sinner." I went, "I never met one of those." Met a whole bunch of self-righteous people, never met an actual sinner. He began to tell me the saving grace of God in his life.
Amen.
And we had fellowship. I said, "We had fellowship." I knocked on a door. I've saved maybe 3-4 years. I knocked on a door. A little old lady came to the door in her house coat. It was in the evening. I got her off the couch. I said, "Ma'am, for the church, just wanted to stop by and invite you to church." She said, "Well, I'm bound to the house." She said, "I cannot get out." And she said, "But my pastor sends me tapes. Every week I get tapes of the church services." Okay. She goes, "I don't watch those TV preachers. They're all con men." Okay. She goes, "I go to Harvest Baptist Church here in Hagerstown, King James Bible Preaching Church." And she said, "I got saved. She began to tell me how God had saved her as a young lady, had given her a Christian husband, raised her family in the house of God. Her husband passed away. All she had was Social Security. She got invalid where she couldn't leave the house, had to have her groceries brought to her, had to have things brought to her. She, the pastor comes by and brings tapes every week. I sit and listen to this. I don't watch those charlatans on TV. You know, we had fellowship." There's people I've been going to church with for 15, 20 years. And we've never had fellowship. That's why I invite people into this fellowship. Because truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's a marvelous fellowship. It's a wonderful fellowship. People say, "But Tim, why do you yell amen sometimes?" Well, I kind of tone it down because most of you folks really can't handle it. I try to keep it toned down, but every once in a while, I just got to let it out. Now listen, I don't know if my wife's in here or not. I can't half see, but you can rest assured this. You say, "Well, that's all show. Come to my house sometime." You know, about 5:30 in the morning, some morning, you'll find out how much a show. You ask my children. Y'all, some of you know my children. Good song, come on the radio. Nathaniel goes, "Woo!" Liliana, she's getting a little out of it. She'd go, "Shout the glory!" I don't even know what that means, but she says, "Shout the glory!" Because that's just a work of the flesh. Yeah, go ahead and believe that if you want to. But there's something inside of me that rejoices in the goodness of God.
Amen.
There's something inside of me that wants to declare Jesus Christ to you.
That's right.
There's something on the inside that invites you to this fellowship that we have in Christ. Through the Word of God. God's given me new friends since I got saved. I didn't have to get rid of my old friends. They were glad to get rid of me. Now, I'm not being cocky about that. They were glad to see me go. Because everything had changed. And God's given me some tremendous friends. But it's because of the Word of God.
Amen.
I love this church. Somebody testified last night about this church. Thank the Lord for this church. Pastor Black, I remember Sunday night, it was snowing out. I'll never forget it. Rebecca and I stopped by here, coming home from up north. Nobody come out because of snow, just you and your family. me and Rebecca. I remember. And that's been since I've been around. He probably remembers the day. Sometimes it was just him and his family here. Look at what God's done.
Amen, brother.
He's invited you into this fellowship.
Oh, come on. Amen.
He's drawn you with an everlasting love. He's brought you to the banqueting house. With his banner over me, he said, is love. He said, yea, I have loved thee with an ever... That's why you're here. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. You can't find the depths of the love of God for you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I preached in New York about a month ago on the drawing of God. How God has just drawn us to this place. He's drawn us to the house of God. He's drawing us to the Word of God. He's drawing us to His Son, I Am, Jesus Christ. And He's drawing us with an everlasting love. Either the night before or night after, sometime in the week, I preached a simple message on the word come. It's a song we sang, come ye sinners, heavy laden. The call to man has always been to come. As he draws, come. As he extends the hand, come. A little girl was sick today. Feverish. She was a little more docile than normal. I didn't have to say come to her today. If I sat down, she just dove in my lap. Wouldn't move. Wouldn't leave. You know why? She knows Daddy loves her. You know why God said to come? He wants you in that fellowship. He wants you near to His heart. He's drawn you with that everlasting love. If you'll just believe the witness of His Son. Verse 20, 1 John 5. And we know that the Son of God is come. We know the Son of God is come. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to read them in the book of Acts in chapter 8. Let me just quote these two, read these to you, Acts 8 and verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, what, be baptized? And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Welcome to the fellowship. Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm done. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I've seen many, many things over the years. The Old Testament. All of a sudden, those words leap off the page, run across my heart, thrill my soul, and I'll say, that's Jesus Christ. But I've missed probably hundreds of places. Amen. Just don't see it. Amen. When I walk through the tabernacle, and I walk through John, and again, somebody put me onto that. Don't you think I'm smart? I'm not smart. But I'm glad somebody else was. And I began to see him through the tabernacle. And Jesus Christ, walking through the tabernacle, said, I am. I am. I am.
Amen.
I am. He's the water of life. He's the bread of life. He's the honey in the rock. He's the meat of the word of God. He'll satisfy your hunger. He's the milk of the word. Song was given. The invitation was already given tonight. Come, you sinners. Lost.